I'm Rick Steves, and this is Travel with Rick Steves. And right now we're traveling in Spain. And I've got a very good Spaniard tour guide with me, Carlos Galvin, born and raised in Madrid. Carlos was in the food industry for a while, did a lot of traveling, and gained a liking for travel and experiencing the wonders of Spanish culture, and that includes the cuisine. He met and married an American, Jennifer, and now they live with their new little baby in Madrid. Carlos, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. I'm very happy to be here.
Viva España.
Yeah, viva España.
Viva España. Hey, Carlos, when people are thinking about Spain, what are some keys for people to really connect with the Spanish culture? You're a tour guide. What are some misunderstandings people have? What are some opportunities for people to get an inside track into your culture?
Well, I think Spain for years have had a little bit the connotation of a Latin American country. I think a lot of people come to Spain expecting to see things that they recognize in Latin America. And even though more and more people are coming to Europe and getting to know Spain, it's important to remember that our history is more linked to Europe than to South America.
So psychologically, people think, oh, you speak Spanish, so a tortilla is what
right.
we find. I mean, like even a tortilla in
right.
Mexico, it's different, right?
Right, exactly.
What is a tortilla
and
in Spain?
A tortilla in Spain is a Spanish omelette. It's a potato omelette.
A potato omelette.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to get pretty surprised if you come to Spain actually expecting to see, your regular tortilla or your regular taco.
You won't find a taco in Spain.
No.
You probably can't find a Mexican restaurant very
yeah,
well.
You'll find the nacho, because actually I have a friend called Nacho, and another friend of mine introduced him as taco. He's Carlos's friend. And I said, no, it's not taco, it's nacho.
Nacho
is Ignacio.
Ignacio is nacho. That's the nickname for Ignacio.
Exactly.
Is nacho.
Yeah.
With cheese.
Yeah, like a cheese, like a nacho cheese.
Okay, so you're going to Spain. It's not Mexico.
Yeah, no,
first
it's not Mexico at all.
What else?
I think there's many links between Spain and North America. There's more links than people may think of. There's so many words in the American vocabulary and so many places that have been founded and explored by Spanish people before anybody else. I think I get pretty excited when I get this book, the Atlas of the Pacific Northwest, and I see all the routes and all the mapping that the Spanish explorers from the 16th century did in Vancouver Island and the San Juan Islands and all this part of the country.
And Strait of Juan de Fuca?
Yeah, San Juan de Fuca was a Greek guy, but he was working for the Spanish army. And all these places were explored by people who were from, 15,000 miles away.
Well,
Spain was fascinating.
Spain was all about breaking the lock on trade that Italy had going overland to Asia. And Spanish explorers were pushing the frontier to the west to expand trade.
Exactly. And now you have a lot of influence of the Spanish people in Latin America. And you're getting more and more of that influence kind of shifting into...
And I think it's interesting, Carlos, to think that Spain was so rich because of its explorations. They could just, harvest the gold in Central
right.
America. But then they didn't really need to get on the ball with the Industrial Revolution because they were sitting on all that gold.
Right.
Consequently, Spain was a little bit behind Europe as
yeah.
it went into the Industrial Age.
Yeah, absolutely. The way you look at it is that before the Catholic monarchs, Spain was a very diverse and a very rich culture. After the Inquisition, Spain got into a little bit of a dark ages. We had a lot of gold. We had a lot of Catholic Church. It was very intense, but it kind of stopped us from getting a further development. However, what happened, though, is that the church financed a lot of masterpieces, and our art actually... thrilled during those centuries.
Well, you had so much money. You had the most powerful king in Europe.
Right.
And, of course, all that money from the exploration. So much of the greatest art in Europe was funded by the Spanish monarchy.
Exactly. I mean, during the Philip II, when I think of this poor man that had to manage all these territories that had been the legacy of his dad, and he had the responsibility of keeping them under the Spanish crown and financing all these wars and financing all these explorations, etc. It was a big responsibility. Spain couldn't cope with it. All these imports from America later on would collapse our economy as well, where people stopped manufacturing in Spain because it was just easier to get into trade and import the stuff, and our economy went bankrupt.
So the sad irony is you were a poor country after you were a rich country.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Catholic monarchs. Who are they?
Fernando and Isabella.
So the two big founders of modern Spain that married and brought together the provinces were really called the Catholic monarchs.
The Catholic monarchs, because both of them were very Catholic, and both of them, their main logo was the Catholic Church. I mean, you have to see that they reconquered the province of Granada, and all they were doing in those days were recovering Spain for the hands of the Christians. And unifying Spain as one nation. Prior to that, Spain was divided in different kingdoms, and after that, Spain became one unified nation, España.
Now, let's talk about major pitfalls and challenges for people traveling in Spain for the first time. First of all, climate. It's very hot in the summer.
Yeah, Spain is very hot in the summer, but I think you got to remember that Spain is kind of divided in, I would say, in like the two-thirds south of Spain. It's a pretty hot climate in the summer. However, the north of Spain is a pretty nice place to travel in summertime.
Mild in the summer in the north.
Yeah.
High altitude.
Yeah. Well, and also the fact that they get a lot more rain. They get like 40 inches of rain in the north of Spain. We're talking about like Santiago de Compostela or Bilbao or San Sebastian, Cantabria, Asturias. Beautiful regions, beautiful landscape, great food and a lot of old history, medieval history, very linked to the Catholic development of the 14th, 15th century with the Camino de Santiago, which is the way to St. James, the pilgrimage of St. James.
That was one of the big travel routes in the Middle Ages, going from, Paris all the way to Santiago de Compostela.